Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadi Beis. We are on the second line off the top. Back to the episode where Yaakov Avinu was challenged by the Malach that represented Esav. They struggled, and ultimately the Malach did reach over and injure Yaakov Avinu's thigh, his Gid Hanasha, which was dislocated. Hence the prohibition to consume that portion of the animal. Now, in describing the story, we have a pasuk in Hosea. Vayosar el malach vayuchal. Vayosar comes from sar, a minister. He controlled. Vayuchal bocha v'yischan aloi. He cried, he begged him. Beis keli im tse'enu v'sham v'daber imanu. Okay, so that's a pasuk in Hosea, indicating that there was some struggle, and somebody prevailed, doesn't say who, and the other one begged him, cried to him, begged to him. So what happened? Any of them, me nasa sar lami, I'm not sure who became the sar, who ministered over who prevailed, who was victorious. Me nasa sar lami, kisho oimer. But when we go back to Bereishis, where it says, kisarisa sol Yaakov Avinu, he was told that he'll have a name change. No more Yaakov, rather it's Yisrael, because you prevailed over men, over angels. Kisarisa im Elohim, Havi Omer. Now we know who won the battle. Havi Omer, Yaakov nasa sar lamalach. In fact, Yaakov ended up on top. He was victorious over the malach. And the pasuk continues there. Bocha v'yischan Allah. He begged him. Who begged who? Who cried to who? What was he trying to achieve? I'm not sure who cried to whom, but then back, Bereishis, it says, that the Malach told Yaakov Avinu, he says, Shalcheni, please let me go. I need to go. Havi Omer. That tells us that in fact, Malach, Bachal Yaakov, the Malach cried to Yaakov, let me go, I have to go to Shemayim to complete my mission, to sing to Hashem, as we learned yesterday. Okay, so the pasuk speaks about Yaakov Avinu prevailing. Kisarisa emalehim v'manoshim. You prevailed. Eloshin elekim, eloshin anoshim. What is that? Says the Gemara, it was actually a hint as to the future of Klal Yisrael, our leaders, our prominent people. Amar Rabbi Remez Ramaz Loi. So the Malachin, relating to these terms, was actually hinting to him. Remez Ramaz Loi Shasidim Shnei Sarim Lotzis Mimenu, that in the future, two great prominent people will emerge from Yaakov. Roish Goyla Sheba Bavel, so that's the head of the community in Bavel. V'nosi Sheba Eretz Yisrael, likewise in Eretz Yisrael there was a different type of leader called a Nasi. Rashi explains, hence the two terms, Elohim and Anoshim, because he says that Nasi was the head of the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, the head of the Yeshiva. So he's related to, with the term Elohim, Rashi says, that's a reference to somebody who had Smicha, appointed as an official Dayan, as we find in the Pasuk in Shmois, Ad HaElohim Yavid Varshneim, related to the Dayanim, so the official judges. So the Nasi in Yisrael had that title, whereas in Bavel they didn't have Smicha, it was a sort of a lower level type of position of leadership, and that's the Reish Goyla, which is hinted in the word Anoshim. Mikan Romaz Legolos. So in these references, he actually alluded to the fact that we're going to be going into exile, and we're going to be having a community live in Bavel, led by the Reish Goyla. Ubagefesh Lesha Sriki. Okay, speaking about interpreting Psukim, we have another whole discussion that relates to the Psukim back in Mitzrayim, where the Sar Hamashkim, the minister in charge of the wine, all that, he dreamt and related his dream as follows. Ubagefen shlesha srigim. He saw this vision of the vine with three branches. What is it referring to? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav, Elus Gimel Sarei Geim. Srigim stands for Sarei Geim. That Klal Yisrael have at least three prominent members, wealthy and close to the authorities and influential on the authorities on behalf of their communities, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Hayotim Yisrael. Behold, over there in every generation, we're going to have some people up there. A total of three. Pa'amim, sometimes it's two over here in Bavel and one in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes it's the opposite. Pa'amim Sheshnaim Kan Ve'echad over there in Eretz Yisrael. Pa'amim, sometimes it was in the reverse. Sheshnaim Eretz Yisrael, two lived in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'echad Kan, one here in Bavel. And at this time, when this was learned, Yahiv Rabban Einai, Rabban placed their eyes, so to speak, meaning they attributed these positions to members who were around at that time. Rabban Ukva, that was one, and also Rabban Nechemya. These two qualified as representatives of the community in this regard. Bnei Barte, the Rav, they played this role. They were the grandchildren of Rav. Rav Amar Elu Shleisha Sari Goyim. He learns that Shleisha Sarigim has a different connotation. Sarigim are Sari Goyim. Even amongst the Goyim, we will consistently have those prominent Goyim who will advocate on behalf of our community and be on our side. Shomalamdim Schusal Yisrael, Bechol Dovredar, and every generation will have some ministers on our side. Tanya Rav Elazar Omer. Okay, another explanation on the vision of the Geffen. He says like this, Geffen Zeh Olam. The Geffen represents the world. Shlesha Sarigim, the three branches are the three great tzaddikim, Zeh Avram, Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Further in the pasuk, v'kefei rachas also nitzah, there were these buds growing out of there. Elohi Mois, referring to the Imois, Sarah, Rivka, right? Hivshulu ashkolosei anovim, the ashkolos are the clusters of grapes. Right, so they produced grapes, they ripened. Elu ashvatim, that's the next generation, the shvatim, who laid the foundation for Klal Yisrael. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua responded to Rabbi Elazar. Is this what the Saramashkim saw? V'chimarim le la'odam mashahaya? Typically, right, is a person shown past events in his dreams? Typically, it's about the future. Aloy einmarim le la'odam el mashahasalitz, a person only sees the future in his dreams. So if he was shown a vision, it wasn't about the avos and the imois. This was past event. He must have been being shown. We know that nevuah has an element of a dream has an element of nevuah, right? The Gemara Brachos, right? It's echad mishishim b'nevuah. Nevuah relates to the future. If he was given this vision, it was about the future. Ella, rather, the correct interpretation is like this: it all relates to future events. So he saw this vine, Geffen. Ella Geffen's a Torah. It's a Torah which contains the wine within it, the depths of Torah. Shlesha Sarigim, who are the three branches? Those are the three tzaddikim. Elush, Moshe, V'Aaron, Miriam. V'ikif HaRachas Al Tzanitza, which sprouted forth the next generations of Chachamim. Elu Sanhedrin, these are the Sanhedrin that promote true understanding of Torah. And if Shilu, Ashkel, Se'anovim, the clusters of grapes, refers to the clusters of tzaddikim, Elu HaTzaddikim, that are found throughout all generations. Shemchol Devedar. Amar Gamliel, we're not done yet. The best is yet to come. Adayin, after all said and done, after all these explanations, Tzrichin Anu L'Moidoi. We still need Rabbi Elazar Moidoi's explanation because he's right on. Demukim Le'kulei B'chad Mokim. He applies the entire vision as relating to one single location. In Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Elazar Moidoi Omer. So he learns like this. Geffen Zeh Yerushalayim. Shlesha Sarigim, the three branches, relate to the our three primary institutions, the three branches of government. The Migdash, right, the Beis HaMikdash, the Melech, the King, the Kohen Gadol. V'ikev v'rachas al tzanitza, what sprouted forth, what budded forth, Elu Pirchei Kehuna, the young Kohanim, who served in the Migdash. Ev'shilash Kehuna Se'anovim, what was produced from grapes, Elu Nesach, the wine poured on the Mizbeach. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Levi had a different approach to the Pasuk, Moikim Lo B'Matonis. He interpreted this Pasuk as discussing gifts, relating to gifts that Hashem gave us. Don Rabbi Shimon Levi, Geffen, that's the Zu Torah that has the depth of Hashem's Chachma. Shloisha Sarigim, the three branches are the three miraculous provisions we had in the Midbar as we traveled. The Be'er, right, the fresh well of water. Amud Anan, the cloud that would lead us. Uman, and the food, right? Vike Farachas Al Tzanitza, what budded forth. Elu HaBikurim, Rashi says. This is once we entered Eretz Yisrael, a land full of lush fruit and produce, which enabled us to give the first growth, the Bikurim, to Hashem. And finally, if Shulash Glasei Anavim, Elu Nesachim, the wines that we offered in the Mizbeach as well. So this represents gifts and blessings and bounty of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Be'Abba Amar, he says it relates to when they left Mitzrayim. Geffen El Yisrael, right? So the vine in its totality represents Klal Yisrael. V'cheinu Omer, as we find in the Pasuk, Geffen Mimitzrayim Tasiya, Hashem relocated us from Mitzrayim, the Geffen, the our nation. So that's the Geffen. Shlesha Sarigim, in a minute we'll see why, by the way, why Klal Yisrael is reminiscent of a Geffen, we'll see. In any case, this is when we left Eretz Mitzrayim. Shloisha Sarigim, Elo Shloisha Regolim, She Yisrael Eulon Vehen V'chal Shana V'shana. So the three branches represents the three opportunities of Eulon Regol to Yerushalayim. So after we left Mitzrayim, we were taken to Eretz Yisrael, we had that opportunity. V'yiki Feirachas Al Sanitza, and it sprouted forth. What's that? He gives manan shel Yisrael lifleis v'lirbois. It's time for our redemption. It's time to multiply, to increase in numbers. V'chinu Omer, as we find in Mitzrayim, it talks about our multiplication. Uvnei Yisrael poro v'yishrutu. Also nitza. What does also nitza mean? So Rashi learns nitza can be read also like netzach because the letter hey and ches are both throat related, interchangeable. The Netzach here is referring to the blood of the Mitzrayim, the eternity, their strength, their stronghold. So basically, it's referring to their life force, which was splattered and vanquished when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He punished them and took us out. He gives mana shel Yisrael ligol. It's time for Yisrael to be redeemed. Chen Omer, as we find the pasuk, Yez nitzcham al b'godai. Their blood will be splattered. V'chol mamushai galti. If shilu ash kol hasei anavim. The grapes are ripe. What does that mean? He gives manah shel Mitzrayim lishes kosher tara elo. The time has ripened for Mitzrayim to drink from the cup of calamity as retribution for all they did against our nation. Vayinu d'amar Rava, as per Rava, who tells us shloisha kosis. If you take a close look at the psukim describing the vision of the Sar HaMashkim, you'll find the term kos mentioned three times. Why three times? So once it says v'kois paroi, then it says el kois paroi, v'etenes ha kois al kaf paroi. Why kois paroi three times? Shloisha koisis hamuris b'mitzrayim lama. What do they represent? Three stages of calamity that was applied to Mitzrayim for what they did for us. Achad sheshasav me'moisha. One cup that it drank from in time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the makos that they experienced. That's one. The next time they experienced misfortune was when they were attacked by by Nebuchadnezzar, or attacked Parai Nechei during that time. And the third installment is still coming. They'll drink together with all the goyim as punishment for what they did against us. So he told them, when Rav would expound on these psukim in the way, you know, Agadot of explaining. You know, the drush, the deeper meaning of the psukim, kavasach darish lo, he would actually go with your approach as just expounded. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So we have this correlation between a geffen and Klal Yisrael. What's the connection? What's the matchup? Umazu, this nation, our nation, kegeffen nimshla, is reminiscent of a vine. It has similar characteristics, similar features. Just as a vine is comprised of all different elements. You have the grapes, you have the branches, you have the leaves, right? They have little offshoots. Our nation is multifaceted, comprised of many different elements who all work in unison to bring about the completion of Hashem's, the realization of Hashem's plan for us. Umazuka gefenimsha, Zumayra Shabo, the branches in the vine, how are they represented in Klal Yisrael? Elu Balei Batim, these are the business people, the supporters of Torah that hold up the grapes, that learn Torah. Eshkoyla Shabo, the grapes, the clusters, Elu Tamit Chacham, they represent Tamit Chacham who study Torah. Olam Shabbat, the leaves in the vine. Who does that represent? Elu Am Ha'aretz. Members of our nation who are less than prominent, totally unlearned. But, as Rashi explains, just as the leaf shields the grape from the sun, from the elements, likewise, the Am Ha'aretz, they pave the roads, they plow the farms, which otherwise would have to be done by the Rabbanim. So, they protect, they provide, and they complete the picture. K'neikne Sheba, what about these little offshoots? Eilerei Konim Sheba Yisrael, these are the least prominent members amongst Klal Yisrael, who don't seem to have much purpose, but ultimately they're part of the bunch, part of the family, and somehow contribute to the totality of our experience. V'ayinu d'sholchu mitam, as they sent from Eretz Yisrael, li'boi rachmim iskalai alalai. So they use metaphoric language that the iskalaya, the clusters, the grapes, should pray for the leaves, that the leaves should be successful. Dilmoli alaya, if not for the leaves, lemiskaimen iskalaya, the grapes wouldn't endure. So Klal Yisrael works as a team, with all members contributing their part to bring about our collective success. Okay, speaking about expounding on psukim, specifically regarding redemption from Mitzrayim, we have a pasuk once again in Hosea. V'echreha li b'chamisha asar kasef v'choymer so'irim v'leisach so'irim. What is this pasuk referring to? Om Rabbi Yechana, Mishum Mishim b'nei Tzadok. Ein kira loshen mechira. The word v'echreha kira relates to a transaction, a sale. Shenamar b'kivra shekharisa li, the grave that I purchased, Yaakov Avinu purchased, right, from his, v'chamisha asar. So Hashem says he purchased with 15. What does 15 mean? Zet hasvav benisan, the 15th day of Nisan, Sheboy, on which Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, which was the day of our redemption from Mitzrayim. And this was on account of Kesef. What is Kesef? Hashem didn't pay with money. Kesef means El Tzadikim, the righteous people amongst us, they were the cause of our redemption. Chenu Oymer, as the Pasuk says, Surah Kesef Nakach B'yada, he took the bundle of Kesef, which was the Tzadikim. So you see, Kesef and Tzadikim are synonymous. The pasuk continues with a reference to Choymer So'erim, which is 15 Sa'ah, V'lesach So'erim, which is 30 Sa'ah, a total of 45 in number. What does that represent? Elu Memei Tzadikim, Sha'olam Miskayim Behem. That refers to the group of 45 Tzadikim, righteous people, that are always present and keep the world going. Now, where are they located? Ve'ini Adei, I'm not sure, Im Shleishim Kan, if it's 30 here in Bavel, V'tezvav, and 15 Be'eretz Yisrael, or the other way around, Im Shleishim Be'eretz Yisrael, 30 in Eretz Yisrael, V'tezvav, and 15 over here in Kan and Bavel. Not sure. Shu'aymer. But when we take a look at the Pasuk in Zechariah, which says, Ve'ekcha, Shleishim HaKesef, I took the 30, V'ashlich, Oysoi, Beis Hashem al Yitzir, the 30 Tzadikim, I put them Beis HaYitzir. So now we know Beis Hashem is the Beis Hamidrash. So they were living in Eretz Yisrael. Habayim, now we can conclude Shloishim 30 are found in Eretz Yisrael. But Tesvav, and only 15 Kan in Bavel. So the number in Eretz Yisrael is double the total number of Tzadikim throughout the world. Amar Abaye, you're not going to find them so easily. They're true Tzadikim. If they're true Tzadikim, they're not going to be making waves or making themselves too known. Chances are you're not going to really notice them. They're humble, unassuming. Most of the mishtake can be found in Beit Knishta, in this little shtibel, this little shul, the Tusei Avta, which is beneath the ledge there, some sort of unassuming place. Okay, speaking about our redemption, coming in account of our righteous members, Ein Duchsiv, as per the Pasuk, which says, V'oimer Aleim. Hashem tells the Goyim, Return my pay, my tzaddikim. What are these 30 tzaddikim? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, elu shloisha tzaddikim usa olam. So actually, according to this version in the Gemara, Hashem is referring to 30 righteous amongst the Gentiles, which gives the Goyim reason to exist. They sustain the Goyim. Interesting. Ula Amar, Ula says, it's referring to 30 righteous deeds that the Goyim do. Eilu shloisha mitzvahs she kibla alem b'nei noyach. He says initially they were makabel, they accepted upon themselves 30 righteous deeds, and Rashi says lenispar, I'm not sure which 30 are, but the Rambam Pana goes through a whole long list. Aside from the standard 7 mitzvahs bnei noyach, we have all kinds of other things that they covered haTorah and learning the parts of Torah that pertain to them, etc., etc. But in reality, says the Gemara, ve'in makaymen ala achas el shloisha. At the end of the day, they only held on to 3 things. So initially they committed to 30, but now it's down to 3. What are these 3 that they wouldn't cross? Red lines that they don't cross, and unfortunately nowadays these are crossed as well. Achas, one is, return to Amid Beis, she'en koisvin kisuba l'scharim. Although, as Rashi explains, they're not careful with intermale interactions, but at least they won't establish it formally and write a ksuba, marriage document, for 2 z'charim. Va'achas, so that's a red line they wouldn't cross. Number 2, va'achas she'en shoichlin basar ha'meis makul. They're not cannibals. They respect the dead. They don't weigh their flesh and the makul basically they respect their dead. And number 3, va'achas she'machaben es ha'ter. They respect the ter. Okay, continues the Gemara. So even the Goyim have respect for clergy and for religion. So that much they still held on to. Back to Giranash. So the prohibition, the Isser of partaking in the sciatic nerve only applies to a behemoth. Why? The Mishnah says, because if you look at the Pasuk, it speaks about the Giranash, which is al kaf hayorich. Kaf is like a spoon shaped, like a round shaped blob of flesh sitting on the thigh area. That's where the Giranash is positioned. That only is found by a behemoth. You don't have that by a bird, by a chicken. And therefore, this whole issue is not applicable to a bird. What do you mean? We see. Take a look at our chicken. It has a kaf basar. It has this wide section of basar over that area, over the thigh area. Islay, yeah, it has some sort of blob, but it's not round. It's not circular. And therefore, it doesn't qualify. Now comes an interesting question. Generally, behemoths have a circular section of meat, whereas by fowl, it's not. Suppose you have an exception, an anomaly, a bird which has a round kaf hayorech, and conversely, a behemoth which has a squarish, more symmetrical section of meat. By Rabbi Yirmiya, classic Rabbi Yirmiya, islay la'if v'agol. Suppose the bird was found to have a round thing. Islay the behemoth v'agol, or the behemoth's section, it has it, but it's not round. My, what happens now? Shall we say it's individual? Basa de deas lina, do we focus on this individual entity? It's only usher if it's a kaf hayarech. Okay, so in this case, the bird has it, it's usher. Behemoth doesn't, it's mutter. Oh, no. Do you look at the collective category, the class? Since in general, behemoth has, so every behemoth is also, whether or not this particular one qualifies as round, and contrarily by a bird. Do you look at the min? If his min is usher, then it's usher. If his min is generally okay, then take it, we leave it unresolved. What about an unborn animal? So the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, says that the Giranasha issue applies even to an unborn animal discovered within. Right, so full term ben pekuah, discovered within the mother animal after shechita. He's his own entity, and the Giranasha is usher even there as well. That's the Tanakhama, which actually corresponds to the shechita of Rav Meir, which we had a while ago. That a full term ben pekor, discovered within the mother, needs its own shechita. So it's its own entity. It's its own, his own person. If he's his own person, then all elements of behemah apply to him as well. The shlil is asr, the chelav is asr. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who told us in the Mishnah, eineg b'shlil. No, it's not applicable to a shlil. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda goes with his opinion that even a full term, fully developed fetus discovered within the mother animal after shechita is subordinate to the mother. Still considered attached to the mother and covered by the mother's shechita. In which case, it's just like a blob of a flesh. The whole thing is just basar. We don't identify the gid as being a gid anash. It's just sort of part of that collective blob of meat, part of the mother's entity. And likewise, the chelev of the unborn, in this case, is mutter. It's not classified as chelev. It's just part of the general blob, which is mutter. It comes an interesting statement from Shmuel. It's fats, which are typically forbidden. In this case, it's mutter, it's permitted. According to all opinions. Now, what chelev was he referring to, which is universally regarded as permitted? Well, what does that mean? Chelbay deman, which chelev are we talking? Ilem the shlil of the unborn animal, the fetus, discovered within the mother. That's subject to a big machlokes. How could you say everybody agrees? Well, miflek pligi be. It's subject to machlokes. The sanya. We have it in the brayso very clearly laid out. Noyeg b'shlil b'chal b'yasa. According to Rameir, the animal has its own identity, as explained, and therefore he has his own gira nasha. His chaylev is asa. Rabbi Daimer, no, it's the opposite. Ein noyeg b'shlil b'chal b'mutar. The ben pekua is just an attachment of the mother, and it's just a blob of meat. As far as we're concerned, there's no kiranasha, there's no chelev. V'amar b'lasar, our Rabbi Yishin explained for us very clearly, machlekes, this discussion pertains to bibentisha chai, a full term, 9 month fetus discovered within the mother. And this corresponds to their machlekes regarding the shechita requirement of that fetus. It's linked one to the other. V'alach Ramei l'shitas, Ramei who says that he has Isra Gid and Isra Chelev that is in line with his opinion regarding Shechita as well. He needs his own Shechita, his own entity, and regarded as a full-fledged animal regarding all the Alachis, including Gid and Chelev. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't worry about the Gid and Chelev and the unborn because it's covered by the mother Shechita. For all we know, it's not its own thing. It's part of a piece of meat. So how could Shmuel tell us that the Chelev is mutter going to all Shechitas? It's machlekes. Okay, skip the unborn animal. We're speaking about a regular animal with a regular giranasha. It's just that, you know, in the giranasha area, there's also some chelev, some fatty, you know, material which sort of enwraps the giranasha. So what status does a chelev have? You know, the pasuk says, don't eat a gid hanasha, the sinew itself. What about the fatty, you know, residue that's sort of attached to the gid? So Shmuel seems to be saying now that it's mutter. No problem, eat it. Gesund to hate. Once again, it's not so simple. But miflat pligiyah, there's a machlokes about it. The sanya. You know, the question is, how far? What's the scope? How far reaching is gid hanasha? The sanya. Gid hanasha mechatet achra b'chol makom shehu. First of all, says Rameir, you can't just slice off the top. You know, the surface section of the gid hanasha. You have to go dig after it, mechatet achra, have to go cut and find it. All the fibers, all the offshoots, b'chamakam shu, whoever it is, all the way deep inside, you got to pull them all out. That's first of all. Number two, regarding the fatty material, v'chotech shamnim yikari. Likewise, the fat has to be removed from the bottom completely. Wherever you find it, pull them out. Divrei, that's a shita of Rav Meir. Okay, so Rav Meir says two things: the actual gid hanasha extends far below the surface, and all of it has to be extracted. Number two, the shuman as well is included in the isur. Rabbi Daimer, no. Just clip off the top of the gid hanasha, whatever is visible on the outside, you know, over the meat over there, and that's it. What's embedded inside, you can leave alone. Rabbi Daimer, goyimma, you just slice it in mashayfi along the shayfi, along the section of meat, meaning whatever is sticking out, whatever is pronounced. Otherwise, just slice it, you know, smooth it out, and whatever is embedded is okay. Likewise, the shuman is not an issue. Okay, so according to Rav Meir, it would seem that the shuman is asur min ha-Torah. How could Shmuel say, everybody agrees the chelev, you know, the fatty aspect of the gid hanasha is okay? Lo'elam chel by the gid. Truthfully, Shmuel was referring to the fattiness of the gid. And even Ramir, who says that it's usur, he agrees that minat Torah it's mutter. It's only midrabbanan. We want to keep a step away from the gid anashim. So we say, you know, keep away from the fat. You know, there's some fusion going on there. It's hard to tell what's what. And midrabbanan it's usur. But Shmuel was talking minat Torah. Minat Torah all agree it's mutter. Rabbi Yudah certainly agrees that it's mutter, and Ramir also. Umayde Shmuel would agree to Ramir, contra Ramir, but Rabban, it's still usur. The Sanya, as we find in a Braisa, where it appears that Ramir, although he holds Minatur, it's okay, but Rabban, it's usur, the Sanya, Vishamni mutter. The Shama, the Shuman, the fattiness of the Gidanash is okay. Minatur, Vishral Kedosh, the Holy Jews, Nogaba Isser, practice Isser to be extra careful. My love Ramir, we're assuming this is Ramir speaking, the Amar who says Mutter Minatoyra, Asim Drabon, it's only Asim Drabon, Minatoyra it's Mutter, which fits with our theory. Who says, Mimai, no, maybe, Dilma Rabili, maybe, going to Ramir, it's Asim Minatoyra, not like Shmuel. And this Brisa, which says it's only Asim Drabon, it's Rabiudi, Aval Ramir, Midrais Nami Asim, but going to Ramir, it's Asim Minatoyra. No, you can't say it. Loisa, you can't suggest that. You know why? Look at the next Brisa, which clarifies it further, the Sanya. This brisa seems to be echoing the words of Ramir. Oh, and then it says that the Shuman is only asur midrabbanan. The Sanya of the brisa Giran Asher, how far deep does it go? Mechatet achrav b'chol makam shu, you have to dig it out from beneath the surface. That's Ramir's type of talk, right? V'shamni mutter, and then he says the Shuman is mutter. Hold it. A minute ago we said the contra made the Shuman is asur. Oh, that's the solution. Menatera, it's mutter, as per this brisa, whereas Menarabanon, it's asur. We keep, you know, one step away from the isur. Man shamasle the isli chatite, who is the one that advocates for extracting all the offshoots and the fibers? That's Ramir. Amar, and he clearly says shamni mutter, the Shuman is mutter, as per a small statement, because Menatera, it's mutter, although Menarabanon, with Ramir, it's asur. So at this point, how far reaching is the Gidan Asher, according to Ramir? You got to pull it all out with all the fibers. And the Shuman, well, that's only Asr Midrabban. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel Amar to Amar Rav on this topic. Lo Yasra Teira El Knoi Knei Sheboi. Just the opposite. The Teira only forbids the Knoi Knei, the fibers, little offshoots that are embedded in the Basar, that have flavor, that have taste, but the actual sinew, the vein itself, is a tasteless entity. It's like a piece of wood. There's no Isra on that. So just the opposite of what we would think. Ula Amar, he says, no, Eitzu. Yes, I agree. It's like a piece of wood. Vatera chiva olav. Torah holds him liable for eating it. So unlike conventional isurim, which are edible materials, and if it's inedible, you're exempt. But here's just the opposite, a special exception for giranasha, that despite its being barely edible and certainly tasteless, etzu, it's still asur, and he's chayev. Amar Abaye says Abaye kavasei de ulam estavra. He says, I'm going to go with Ula's approach, that it's the actual gid, which is asur, and not the little fibers. He's going to bring a raya from chaylev, slightly different topic, right? Chaylev are the forbidden fats in the animal. The Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi. He tells us like this: Chutin shebechaylev asurim. Only the actual blob of fat is asur, but the chutin, the fibers that extend it, that's asur. The rabbanon, because it's too close to the, but you're not liable. Minat Torah. Alma. So what do we see from here? Chaylev amarachmana. When the Torah forbids chaylev, it's the chaylev. It's the chunk of chaylev. Not the strings. The strings attached. Hachanami resolved by the gid. Gid amarachmana. The Torah says don't eat the gid, the actual vein, the primary, but not. V'leiknekneis. But not the tributaries. Gufa, let's go back to Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi. Chutin shebechelav asurin, nechayev nalein, right? The fibers coming out of the chelav are also under abonon only, but you're not chayev. Shebechol yasurin, nechayev nalein, likewise the fat fibers emanating from the kidney. So only the fat on the kidney is also the fibers. They're also under abonon because they're close to the, you know, actual fat. But rein chayev nalein, one is not liable, minatera, there's no karis, there's no malchus. Okay, what about Levin Kulya? So the kidney has a crevice inside which we have fat, but it spreads outside as well. Rabbi Rabchia, It was a machlokes chad asa. One says this is considered forbidden fat. V'chad shari, the other one permitted it. Rabba mamartitle, Rabbi Yechon mamartitle. Rabba and Rabbi Yechon both extracted it, cleaned it completely out of the kidney, leaving nothing behind. Rabbi Asi, on the other hand, goyimle. He would just slice off whatever was like covering, whatever emanated from the kidney, but was deep inside, that he would have no problem eating. Amar Abaye, Kavasei, Sabaye again, says, I'm going to side with Rav Asi's approach, that only the actual fat is asur, but the, whatever is embedded inside is mutar. Amar Abaye, Kavasei, Rav Asi Mestavra, I'm going to side with Rav Asi's approach, Amar Abba Uda Mashmoel, because as we said before, as they told us regarding another section of fat, and we'll see from there that only the pronounced section is also, but not what's embedded in the flesh around it. Chelav shabasa, we turn to the next page. Chelav shabasa chayfa oisim mutar. So the back of that, towards the back end, the ksalam, right, the sides, the flanks. So the chelav, which is embedded in the layers of meat in there, shabasa chayfa oisim, that's mutar. Why? Alma, apparently, sha'ala ksalam, amrachmana. The Torah in describing that section of fat speaks of it being ala ksalam, on top, visible, exposed. As opposed to the parts that are sort of embedded inside the actual meat, so that's not considered chelav. Here as well regarding the chelav of the kidneys. Sha'alakloyes, the Torah specifies the blob of fat sitting on, perched on the exterior of the kidneys, sitting on the outside. V'loy, as opposed to shabatei hakloyes, the material which is embedded inside, that's not considered chelev, which is asr. So likewise, right? So that's why he says that I go with the shita of asi. You only have to remove the part that's sitting on it, but not embedded inside. Okay, so let's just do a quick chazar of today's daf. We went back to the struggle between Yaakov and Sarisha Esav. Yaakov ultimately prevailed. Sarisa, right? And then he alluded to the future generations and our prominent leaders, even in Gullus. We had many interpretations for the dream of the Saramashkim, whether it relates to past event or future events, whether it relates to the Geula from Mitzrayim. We spoke about the number of tzaddikim that are found throughout all generations and all times. We spoke about the Kaf HaYorech being a prerequisite for the Issur Gid Anoshe. We spoke about the question of whether the Giranosh and the Chel applies to a Shlil, an unborn animal. We discussed the scope of the Giranosh and the status of the Shuman, which will be only Asur Midrabanan, and we spoke about other sections of fat as well. And according to Abaye's approach, it's only Asur when it's outstanding, pronounced, as opposed to embedded within the flesh material. Okay, all the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.